Welcome, ladies, gentlemen, fellow slaves of the global plantation. The Vinnie Eastwood Show is bad news. It's like the news, but worse. It's the lighter side of genocide. Just because we're being exterminated doesn't mean we can't enjoy it. Otherwise, what's the point of being killed? The Vinnie Eastwood Show. We're the only thing worse than living in a high-tech global police state run by child trafficking Satanists. Is Vinny's jokes. I'd like to start off today, ladies and gentlemen, by saying I know a lot of you are worried about everything. You're looking at the news all day and you're stressing out. I'm not stressed out about it. You know why? I'm doing something about it. If you can do something about it, do something about it, then you can stop worrying about it. And if you can't do anything about it, then don't worry about it. All your thinking, all your intellect, shuts down when you're afraid or when you're angry or anxious. Just get something done in your little head there that says, I don't actually have to worry about it right now because I can't do anything about it. And if you are doing something about it, then you don't have to worry about it either. My very special guest joining me today is Trevor Loudon. Trevor, say hello.
Hi, how you doing, Vinny? I fully support your attitude there. If you can do something about it, do it, but don't worry, just do.
Yeah. And so, Trevor, you've been doing this for some time now. I'd like to get to know you a little bit and find out who you are and what it is you do, if you'd be so kind.
Well, absolutely. You know, I'm a fellow New Zealander. I'm mainly from Christchurch. But for the last few years, I've been in the United States doing a lot of public speaking, writing a lot of books, doing documentaries, etc. And my specialty is exposing Marxism, exposing revolution, exposing the sort of globalist plans to subjugate us all. And the main focus has been on the United States. So I exposed a lot of the communist ties to Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. I did a documentary, Enemies Within, exposing the massive Marxism and Islamist penetration of the US Congress. Did a big movie, Enemies Within the Church, exposing the woke church, the Marxist drift in the churches in the States. And my latest books, Security Risk Senators, exposing the communist ties of 30 currently serving US senators, and the next series of books, which is just coming out, House Un-Americans, exposing the more than 100 US congressmen who are working with the Chinese, the Cubans, the World Economic Forum, and other enemies of patriotic New Zealanders. And right now, I'm in New Zealand, doing some speaking engagements here, and it's just great to be back in my home country for a while.
Well, one can only hope you think it's great, but of course, when you kick over some rocks in New Zealand here, you'll see the same communist threat buried under each and every one of them, I'm afraid.
Oh, listen, I've been talking a lot, exposing the background of the current government. We're living, basically, the current government is Maoist. They're all former student Maoists, former radical society type people, and they are promoting the Maoist Chinese mass line in New Zealand, and you see that with the COVID lockdowns, you see that with the racial policies they're promoting, you see that with the judicial policies. You saw, you know, when Posey Parker was here the other day, you know, the New Zealand police were basically told to stand down. Because the mass line is we must support transgenderism and we must hammer anybody who doesn't go along with that scam. So, yeah, look, I have no illusions about what's happening here in New Zealand at all. But it's still a beautiful place. It's still a wonderful place to be. But New Zealanders need to understand we're going to lose this country very soon. Unless we wake up to what's going on. We are living on borrowed time right now. Time is running out. But I've been so gratified. You know, I spoke to a meeting of 250 people last night, 150 people up in Auckland, 200 people in Wellington. you know, when I was expecting to get meetings of 25 or 40 people, we were standing room only. So it's been pretty interesting to see how New Zealanders are reacting to the threats and wanting to do something about it. It's been very gratifying to me.
I would find that incredibly encouraging. I recall during the last election when Billy TK came out, they got like something like 70,000 donors on their list for the political parties, the most donors anybody's ever amassed, ever. And it's just goes to show that I think when people get no outlets that speak the truth as they see it, they are more than willing to go and support those who are left who do.
Well, that's right. And, you know, as I say, only truth can save us now. We've tried everything else. You know, well, let's try telling the truth about our situation. And when people hear that, they respond. You know, sometimes you have to almost lose something before you appreciate it. And I think the COVID policies, I think the general tyranny that we've seen out of this current government has finally woken up to hundreds of thousands of New Zealanders to realise if we don't do something, the New Zealand we know is gone forever. It is gone. And when people tell the truth about that and try and offer solutions, yeah, you can see the groundswell of support. You can absolutely see that groundswell.
So you're talking about solutions here, and we're talking about a global problem. A global problem needs a global solution. Have you come up with a proposal for that?
Well, I've come up with many proposals, both locally and globally. But what you're seeing here is a centralization of power across the globe, and the Chinese Communist Party is playing a major role in this, working with people like the World Economic Forum, the World Health Organization, and other international organizations. We're seeing this mass centralization of power across the globe. It's Maoist mass line. That's what it is. Everybody has to think a certain way. The only response to COVID is mass lockdowns. The only response is vaccinations. And everybody must fall in, you know, to follow this Maoist mass line. So, but what you see also, you see the Canadian truckers, you see the big mass movements that are happening in the United States right now. You saw the March on Parliament here. You're seeing the growth of groups like, Voices for Freedom. So what I'm basically saying is that we have to concentrate these resources locally, like doing things like we've got to end 15-minute cities in our communities here. We've got to train all these resources on specific things that we can do. We've got to get people in Parliament who are going to end the emergency regulations because the next pandemic is just around the corner. We've got to do these certain things which will inspire the people in Australia, which will inspire the people in Canada and France and Germany and through the Pacific Islands, etc. So we've got to look at the global implications of what's happening, but we've got to identify things that we can do in our own communities and have victories, stop these globalist agendas in our own communities, and then publicize the heck out of that and so other people around the world follow the same path. You know, we are the majority. People who just want to live decent lives to have national sovereignty. You know, I've got this wacko idea that New Zealanders should control New Zealand. Australians should control Australia. Papua New Guineans should control Papua New Guinea. Chileans should control Chile. The French should control France. So,
and Britain should control America.
No. They fought a revolution a while back to stop that. But there are many solutions at a local level, but the education to people of this is a global menace has to continue, and it is continuing. There's more awareness of this out there now than there has been in any time in my memory, in any time in my lifetime.
This is a what did somebody call it? The last human generation. Right, the kids that are growing up now are growing up with this communist indoctrination in their schools, encouraging them to be gay and lesbian, encouraging them to be transgender, and there's no real restriction on device time, and it's destroying their brains in a very literal drug addict type sense.
And absolutely.
This is something that is going to basically be the culmination of a long-standing plan of demoralization by the communist bloc against the West, for when you don't have enough real men with real anger, and anger was given to us, as the ancients said, by the gods, so that we could protect what is ours. And if you can placate people and keep them ignorant and soft and appeasing, then you can do pretty much anything to them. And that is what we're seeing to a large degree. People are not getting angry as perhaps they should.
Well, I think that's a very good point. You know, anger was given to us by the gods so we can protect what is ours. You know, look, when you see your kids being indoctrinated in schools, when you're seeing, you know, total, you know, very, very sick people given access to your kids to twist their minds, the natural, the real proper response is anger. You should be real, real angry about people trying to warp your kids' minds. If you're not angry about that, what the hell are you doing? Why are you fit to be a parent? So, but that's what I'm seeing. You see this in the States in big time. People are going to school boards. They're kicking out the transgenders. They're kicking out the pornography out of their kids' school libraries. You know, we don't hear much in the news here about this, but I travel all around the States, and this is happening everywhere. You know, people sat at home through COVID for 2 years, reading their kids' school textbooks, sitting in on their kids' school Zoom sessions, and they are angry. They are pissed. And I'm seeing that here in this country as well. I did an interview with Rodney Hyde the other day, and he was telling me about he's a little school in a rural, he's got kids in a little school in a rural area, and they had these transgenders come to their school talking to 11-year-olds about the wonders of transgenderism. To the, you know, one of the little girls, she's 11, she's already identifying as a lesbian, you know, at 11. And so, yeah, he's angry about that. But a lot of the parents in school never even knew it happened. You know, but, you know, you're right. And I think the point you make is right. This is the last human generation if we don't do something about this. Because we will be, our minds, our kids' minds will be twisted beyond recognition. They will be plugged into the new, the new mind control technologies that are looming, you know, the psychochemical technologies, even the electronic technologies. I think in Russia right now, they have, some schools have, they put a headband around children that can actually, no, China, sorry, that can actually monitor children's emotional reactions to their lessons. So you can, the teacher can tell whether the child is actually engaged or not, or is, you know, thinking about something else, so that child can be quickly brought back into line. Well, you know, if they're doing it there, they're going to be doing it here within the next few years. And just, can you even imagine the horror of it? You know, we your kids are no longer your kids. Your kids are the children of the state.
Children of the corn.
And they're already poisoning our kids against this now. Mm. But, you know, with the technologies that they have now. So we're at that pivotal point. Millions of people are waking up all over the planet. They are angry. They're upset. They're concerned. They need more guidance. They need more information. But the bad guys are doubling down. This is a real clash between the elites and the people, and the grassroots people. There's a real clash coming here. And we have to be on the right side of that and get our people ready for what's coming.
And what's already here as well, because I was thinking about this. If you've been indoctrinated for, what are we approximately? We're about three generations in of communist indoctrination in New Zealand, by my reckoning.
And yeah, about that.
That means that the vast majority of morals that those who were born in the 50s are basically not present in the children who are born today. And I think that there's a grand scheme here because of that, whereby you need to teach children at a very young age specific lessons about morality. You know, you don't steal, you don't lie, you don't cheat, and all of those good things that appear quite obvious to us and not quite obvious to them. Because what's counterpoint to this is that if those are your principles, those are your morals, when you see somebody breaking them for somebody else, you take personal responsibility for doing something about it, bringing those people to justice, making them stop by whatever means are at your disposal, up to and including deadly force in some cases when you're talking about violent individuals who are raping women or something of that nature, and you just happen to have a gun right there. I mean, have a look at the gun statistics in the United States. You know, there's thousands of people that are killed every year, but look at the hundreds of thousands of crimes that don't occur because somebody was armed and an assailant went running.
Well, that is 100% correct. And I argue, you know, with the we had the Christchurch mosque shooting. Well, if three or four of the people in that mosque had been carrying sidearms, do you think that massacre would have been as bad as it was? You know, Brandon Tarrant would have been stopped pretty darn quickly. And that's a very good point. And, you know, we see, yes, there are gun crimes in the United States, but they occur usually in the cities with the tightest gun regulations, where the ordinary people don't have guns, but the criminals do. You know, in places where gun ownership is much more widespread, they say they are the politest states. They are the places where you don't do road rage, where you don't mug people, where you don't do crimes, because you never know who is going to be armed. You don't attack a young woman walking alone down a dark street because in her purse she might be carrying a 38 special. You know, and so... Yeah, you're right. It is the American Constitution was very wise, and they gave, the first thing was freedom of speech, the First Amendment. The second thing was the right to keep and bear arms, because the right of freedom of speech means nothing if you cannot protect it. You know, nothing at all. So the American Founding Fathers were extremely wise. But in New Zealand, they have done everything they can over many years, the nanny state, to keep arms out of the hands of law-abiding citizens. But guess what? The gang members don't turn their arms in. The gang members can wander around doing whatever they darn well like, and the police don't even hassle them a lot of the time. But me and you... we can't protect our families. You know, your daughter or your niece can't protect herself when she's walking down the street alone. She's at the, you know, she is there. The only protection she has is the police, who may turn up or may not, may turn up after the fact. You know, the Christchurch mosque shooting, you know, the cops, this was within a mile of the Christchurch Central Police Station. Brandon Tarrant shot at that place for 28 minutes and not one cop turned up. Not one.
On a same day when they were having an armed defenders drill mass shooting. At the same time, there was a NATO sniper drill concerning live fire exercises. You know, like, oh, it's just the coincidences just keep piling up here. And coincidentally of all, first day of lockdown, what was that in... 2020, Brenton Tarrant, who'd maintained his innocence the whole time, pled guilty on day one of lockdown when the media weren't allowed to report it, got put into permanent solitary confinement so nobody would ever be able to talk to him, at a cost of $40,000 to the taxpayer, and the commission of inquiry into the shooting was sealed for 30 years so that nobody could look at any of the evidence.
Isn't there some suspicious factors there?
There's nothing going on here, bro. That's what I'm saying. Official story all the way, bro.
yeah, exactly. But, you know, there's a secondary issue around there. But the fact is, the right to keep and bear arms is what is a very important part in keeping a society free. I've got a friend in the United States, and she's a Jewish lady, and she said she's very conservative, very patriotic, but she hated guns until somebody said to her, look, imagine how different the history of the Jewish people would have been had they always been armed. You think Hitler could have done to them what he did had they been armed? But no, the Nazis disarmed everybody. They went into Austria. They disarmed every Austrian. Every country they went into, they disarmed people. That's what the communists do. You know, they disarm people, disarm people, disarm people, because it's not they hate guns. They want to have the monopoly on the guns. That's the issue.
That way, they can back up their speech, their free speech, say whatever they want, and if you don't like it, here's a bullet.
Yeah, exactly. There's always that implicit threat, isn't there? When the government has monopoly on all force, they will use it. Have we not learned from history that if you give government power over the ordinary citizen, they will use it at some point against the citizenry? The biggest mass murderers in the last, you know, the greatest mass murderers in history have happened in the 20th century. You know, the Nazis, the communists, Mao Zedong, Stalin. The biggest danger to the individual human being is the government. Governments have killed more people than any criminal gang, any marauders. It has always been governments that have killed more of their own people than anyone else.
Mass psychosis. This is something that came about during COVID, and I was just like, there's an interesting Google search for you. Has this happened before? Have you heard of the witch hunts? You know, certain villages and things of that nature where there virtually weren't any women left because everybody was just so whipped up in the hysteria. You can, and it's very easy to panic people with a whole bunch of lies and get them to start killing their own people, all right? But in order to track them all down, you need a census. And guess what? And happening in New Zealand right now. It's census time. How do you think they found all the Jews, ladies and gentlemen? All right. What religion are you? Do you have any guns in the house? Do you support the communists or the fascists? You see?
Yeah. Yeah, we're told, you know, the census is all about, you know, public spiritedness and so we can allocate resources effectively. Census is really about control and the level of intrusion. See, you know, gun registration is a big part of this, you know, so you register all the guns. So when it comes time, you know everybody who has the guns, right? You know the amount of intrusions coming in. You know the political views, basically, of everybody you're dealing with in your community. You know who to target first. But I want to say to you, talk about mass psychosis. See, this is what we saw with the COVID, we saw it worldwide. This is what they called Maoist mass line. Now, the World Health Organization is controlled by the Chinese communists. And Mao came up with the concept of the mass line. We saw this in the Cultural Revolution. He would have mass campaigns where everybody had to go out and kill flies. Everybody had to go out and kill 100 flies a day. Everybody in China had to kill 100 flies. This was mass line. Everybody must follow the dictates of the CCP at the top. So what we saw with the COVID enforced through the World Health Organization was Maoist mass line. There is only one approach to this. It must be isolation. It must be lockdowns. There will be no alternative therapies. There'll be no vitamin D. There'll be no ivermectin. Vaccinations are the only way to go. Everybody must wear masks. And if you deviate, you must be put in your place. You must be persecuted. You must be ridiculed. We saw this in the Cultural Revolution in China. You see pictures of a town square meeting and hundreds of people. And there'll be a couple of people up the top with signs around their neck, Capitalist Rhoda. And everybody will throw stuff at them because this person had two pigs when everybody else only had one. And so this is the mass line. Everybody must hate the capitalists. Everybody now must hate the non-vaccinated. Everybody must hate climate deniers or, you know, transphobes or whatever. There is a mass line and everybody must conform. This is the woke business, the woke church, the woke school. This is ultimately Maoist mass line. And it forces this mass psychosis where people will turn on their own family, where people will dob their friends in if they're not wearing a mask or they're having a little party during lockdown. But we've got to understand what this is. This is ultimately Maoist mass line. This is how the communists enforce their views. Before they have the power to shoot you, they enforce their views through the mass line approach.
And it would never be possible without the mass media pumping it through every single airwave that has space. And this was something they talked about in Event 201, wasn't it? Flood the stream, I believe, were the terms they used at the time, where if they had a global pandemic, and of course this was done a couple of months before the actual pandemic, they would flood the stream and make sure any alternative voices got drowned out. You listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on republicbroadcasting.org. Donate at vinnieeastwood.com. We'll be right back after the break with our guest, Trevor Loden.
The Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the fastest hour in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from the capital of the sunny slave South Pacific, New Zealand, where everybody's got a part-time job as an incandescent light bulb by communist mandate. My very special guest is Trevor Loden. Is it Loudon or Loudon?
Loudon. Yeah. Oh, well. As in loud and clear.
Trevor loud and clear. I like it. For some reason, we're having a little bit of a problem. RBN, is your audio still going there? I don't know. Anyway, I was thinking about this this whole problem with the communist threat. It's basically people don't even realize there is one because they're very, very good at infiltrating. Right? And this was how, what was it? Help me out here, Trevor. What was it? The Vietnam War, how America was talking about the communist infiltration of South Vietnam, of the North Vietnamese, and all of this other kind of thing. And, of course, that's a military one, but what we're talking about really is an infiltration of the minds of people. And this is what is the most dangerous thing. You ever talk to somebody and you're completely unable to reason with them? They're beyond reason because they've got a program that's running and they've got so much cognitive dissonance that your ideas of freedom, of liberty, of logic, of facts, of morality, of decency, they can't even hear it. They can't see it. That's what makes them so dangerous, because they literally have to be forced to stop. They cannot be negotiated away.
Look, the communists, you know, they've been working on mind control and propaganda for decades. That's what they do. They're all about changing public opinion. When you look at, you know, Americans say, well, there's no communism in America. Okay, what's Black Lives Matter? Black Lives Matter is a Chinese communist operation. It was run by Liberation Road, a pro-Chinese communist party. They burnt cities all over America. But you had politicians taking a knee to these people. The LGBTQ movement, started by Harry Hay, the famous communist, who was also involved in the North American Man-Boy Love Association, a pedophilia-promoting organization, and we're now seeing a conditioning for the future acceptance of pedophilia. You know, this is all communist. See, people don't, they see the open borders, They see the co-option of big tech. They see the indoctrination in schools. They see the sexualization of children. They see the gutting of the U.S. economy. They see that America is no longer energy independent. They see all of these things happening. But what they don't understand is a common thread here. All of these programs are being promoted by various Marxist groups in conjunction with Communist China and other foreign organizations to degrade, to weaken, to destroy America. You know, a strong, independent, constitutional and free America is the major impediment to a worldwide slave state. So there's massive pressure internally all through America to basically change the thinking of the people away from a constitutional self-responsibility point of view to more of a collective-minded, let's all be part of the big global governance type of thing. You know, so people got to understand the transgender movement is part of this. The radical LGBTQ movement is part of this. Black Lives Matter is part of this. Open borders is part of this. The indoctrination of your kids through TikTok and big tech is part of this. But it's a concentrated whole, it's a concentrated program to destroy the greatest nation in the world, so the world can be ready for a centralized global government. But so to say there's no communism in America is like a fish telling you there's no water in the ocean. You know, we're swimming in it, but we just don't recognize it for what it is.
I think there is a transparency issue as well, because when you have infiltration of this magnitude happening, by the time it's even discovered, it can be too big to really roll back or stop in some cases. I recall the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, I think it was in 1996, if I remember correctly, conducted an investigation into Communist Chinese and Triad criminal involvement in Canada. They found out that the Triads has a presence in 100% of Canada's ports, and that they owned approximately 85% of downtown Vancouver. And that's in the mid-90s, and that investigation by the Royal Canadian Mounted Police was shut down at the highest levels, which means that at the time, the Communist Chinese already owned the Prime Minister's office of Canada.
Look, that's 100% right. The Canadian SIS, the other Canadian Intelligence Service released a report in 2011 saying that the CCP had gained complete control of the legislatures of both British Columbia and Alberta, Canada's two richest provinces. Again, that was shut down. There was a scandal last year that the CCP had been involved in 12 elections in the last Canadian election. And they'd won 11 of the 12 seats they targeted in favour of Justin Trudeau. So, yeah, look, Trump's intelligence advisor, Ratcliffe, said 3 years ago, he said the CCP controlled so many American legislators, they could control which legislation passed the US Congress and which didn't. So you're absolutely right. The infiltration is so deep, and it's in Hollywood, it's in Wall Street, it's in the top reaches of the Democratic Party, it's infiltrated the Republican Party, that by the time you discover it, they have already in a position to shut you down, you know. So that is the problem, and that's why Trump was so hated by the establishment, because the establishment is so in bed with the CCP. So making so much money with the CCP, or so co-opted by the CCP, here was Trump coming along trying to knock back the CCP's influence. So they had to protect their own careers, basically to shut him down. And this is what we saw. You know, the COVID came from the CCP. Black Lives Matter came from the CCP. The CCP helped to steal the elections because they wanted to make damn sure that Trump would not upset the apple cart, that would not upset the cozy relationship that the CCP had with many American leaders in both parties.
Mm. It's a brutal realization when you go to mummy or daddy for help, for example, and you find out that mummy and daddy both work for the CCP, you know?
Yeah. You go to the cops for help. But look, in New Zealand, this came out in New Zealand yesterday. Hong Kong police who work for the CCP, who just shut down brutally the protests in Hong Kong, went to Wellington, New Zealand, to meet with senior New Zealand police officers to work on issues of crowd control. This is in the public press in New Zealand yesterday.
May I add to that? I think in the protest, we did a CCP, anti-CCP meeting one time here during the last election, and one of the people revealed that 10,000 protest organisers in Hong Kong, 10,000 protest organisers went missing.
Now, they're all either dead or in Chinese gulags making Christmas ornaments to sell in Walmart and the warehouse.
Merry Christmas.
But that's this. So we have to understand the depth of this. Now, here's another little interesting thing. Where the World Health Organization is basically signed up protocols, when the next pandemic comes along, they will be able to run the management of that internationally. Every country in the world, with the exception of the United States, which is in the process of doing it, has signed up to give the World Health Organization complete control over the next pandemic. Well, the head of the World Health Organization is Mr. Tedros of Ethiopia's pro-Chinese Communist Party. He's completely in bed with the CCP. They have a behavioral modification unit in the World Health Organization. This is run by social psychologists. It's all about how to manage people, to get them to adopt vaccines, to get them to accept lockdowns, etc. That is now run by Susan Mickey of the British Communist Party. She's a social psychologist. She was the one advising Boris Johnson on the lockdowns in Britain. She was so extreme in the Communist Party, they call her Stalin's nanny. You know, she is an absolute extreme lunatic. But she will be the most powerful woman in the world in the event of the next pandemic. She'll be in control across the world of our behavior when it comes to vaccines or lockdowns or whatever they want to do. There'll be no control from Wellington or Washington or Ottawa or Paris or London. It'll all come out of the World Health Organization. And the two leading people in there are pro-CCP communists. What could possibly go wrong with that, Vinny?
The entire world getting enslaved and subsequently exterminated by ruthless criminal sociopathic scumbaggery financiers who've never seen a day of real work in their life. I mean, I'm just taking a stab in the dark. I don't really know.
But other than that, it'll be fine.
Right? Yeah. Other than that. I mean, this is the thing, man. You have to laugh at this because it's just so overarching. I remember the time, what was it, my flatmate showed me The Truth and Lies of 9/11 by Michael C. Rupert. And I remember about halfway through this presentation of a former Justice Department medal-winning contracted to the CIA, you know, cop presenting this evidence about the way the world really works behind the scenes. And I just started laughing uncontrollably because it became so obvious through the evidence that it was like the world itself is some kind of a joke now, isn't it? Anytime you ever see Barack Obama on television saying anything, I can't stop bursting out laughing because the lies are so overarching and so out of proportion towards a reality that I have to see it as a form of entertainment, because otherwise I would become so psychotic with rage that I wouldn't be able to do anything about it.
Well, that's right. This is the cognitive dissonance, isn't it? You know, back in the old Soviet Union days, you know, the party would say this, but everybody else knew. The party would say, we are prospering, we have food everywhere, things are going great, but everybody could see the cues, everybody could see whatever. And so, but you have to parrot the line. And this creates a real psychological problem for people when they know they have to say things that are complete lies. Well, when you know, that's the edit, you've got to laugh at this stuff, because they are trying to create cognitive dissonance with us where we parrot the line, yes, we all support vaccines. Yes, we all believe in global warming. Yes, yes, we all think transgenderism is just great, and we really want our kids to get involved in this. We're expected to say these things and support these things. We know it's complete BS, and they tell us what we have to do. So we have to laugh at it. You know, we have to just laugh at it, and we have to tell the truth and stand against this stuff. And that takes courage. But, you know, we're at the point now, you know, look, our ancestors, you know, have all fought, you know, all of our ancestors have fought wars to create the freedom we have today. They have fought tyrants in the past. They have sacrificed to give us the freedom we have today. Why do we get to think that we get to preserve our freedom with no sacrifice or no risk? We have to understand that we got to tell the truth. We got to fight for truth. We got to fight for liberty, as has been done by many, many generations before us. And it is our obligation to honor those generations, and it's our obligation to fight for liberty in our time, because we have kids, we have grandchildren, we have nieces, we have nephews. And we can say, okay, well, I'm going to roll over, I'm going to accept the tyranny, but we have no right to sell our children into tyranny. It is our duty, our sacred duty, to protect our kids and ensure that our kids live free. Anybody who doesn't accept that is not fit to be a parent.
Yeah. People always use that old chestnut of what are you going to tell your children one day when they asked you what you did to prevent the communist threat from becoming all powerful? And most people are going to say, Netflix, you know? Like.
I got a great golf handicap. I watch a lot of sport. This is our time. This is really our time, isn't it? It's our time to stand up. And we see all around the world people are standing up. We need more of that. We need better leadership. We need there's a new paradigm coming here. The bad guys are getting worse, but the good guys are getting better. The good guys are getting bolder. This is a real, we're coming into a really, really critical time. And it's our duty to ourselves and our kids and for what we believe in to stand up now. This is our time.
I mean, just one thing that I found in my sector was that 15 years ago, like 2008, starting this gig and telling the truth and helping out all the protests and things of that nature, I was like the only guy doing it. But as soon as the communists took over New Zealander under Jacinda, we've got people popping up left, right, and centre. And this this is good to see because it means that the vast majority of the work is being done without my hand even doing it. And that's great. And I want to give everybody some appreciation out there, especially to the audience, for supporting people like me and supporting people like Trevor and Counterspin Media and Chantal Baker and whatever. I don't care if I agree with them on certain things or whatever. It's on the points that we do agree that we should come together and collaborate. The points that we disagree, we can save those choices for another time. Now, people give me crap because I don't seem to take the truth as seriously as they do. Well, Mark Twain once said that irreverence is the champion of liberty, if not its only defender.
Absolutely. We got to be happy warriors, we got to have a sense of humour, and we got to ridicule these idiots who think they can control us, these people who think we're going to be happy eating bugs and owning nothing. Yeah, we've got to treat them with the ridicule and contempt and a reverence that they deserve. And but this is the thing, you know. And I've just been doing a tour of New Zealand, and I've spoke to some great audiences. But I know if I'd done the same thing 5 years ago, you know, I'd have got 25 people. I would have got 30 people. But I had 250 last night. You know, so Jacinda did us some great favors. She put evil in our face. She showed us that tyranny is possible in New Zealand. She demonstrated it beyond all doubt. And sometimes you have to almost lose something before you appreciate it. And now thousands, hundreds of thousands of New Zealanders, millions of Americans in the last couple of years have finally begun to see, yes, we can lose our country. Yes, this is a real possibility now. Maybe we better get off the damn fence and start doing something about this. Maybe we better start looking out for our kids. Mm. So this is what we're seeing all around. We're seeing from the Dutch farmers, the Canadian truckers. We're seeing this all around the world now. This pushback against globalism, this pushback against centralism and tyranny and socialism and communism. It's there. It's very, very real. And I think it's the role of people like you and Chantal and others to just keep the people encouraged, keep the people fired up, bring them the news they're not hearing elsewhere. So, you know, imagine without you, imagine without Chantal, Reality Check Radio. We would have no voice for the millions of people who want to do something about this.
Yeah, and as I say, getting people off the fence. I remember I was talking with the lead guitarist of 8 Foot Sativa of all bands one time, and we came up with this little saying that in the battle for good and evil, some will choose good, some will choose evil, but most will sit on the fence to see who will come out on top. We're just trying to burn the fence down.
Yeah, well, look, there is no middle ground anymore. You're either going to stand with evil or you're going to stand with good. This is one of those times in history where the difference is so stark that you have to make a choice. You want to stand for evil, you do that. You take the consequences of that. Your children will take the consequences. But you want to stand for good, that's a risky proposition. It is dangerous to stand for good in these times. But the only thing more dangerous is not standing for good.
Yeah. So what was it Gimli the Dwarf said, you know? Certainty of death, small chance of success. What are we waiting for?
Exactly. It's a great, I'll use that one. I used an example last night too. There's a landing craft coming into Normandy, and the machine gun bullets were coming all around the place. It was just horrific. And this is a landing craft full of 19-year-old American kids off farms. And their sergeant says to these kids, there are two kinds of people on this beach. There are the dead and those about to die. Let's go. Now, you have to have some faith and courage to do something like that, don't you? And as Gimli said, you know, small chance of success, large chance of death. Well, what the hell are we waiting for? You know, if we don't do anything, it's certainty. Slavery and death are certainties. You know, and if not for us, at least for our children. And so it's our time now. It's our time to take the risks and stand up and be honest, good, decent people, brave and courageous people. You know, I'm not pushing any religious views here. I'm just saying this, you know, that there's wisdom in all the religious texts, but there's one thing in the book of Revelations in the Bible, I think it's 2:18. There's a list of people who go to hell. Right? And there's idolaters and murderers and whatever. But the very first group on the list are the cowards. That's the first group. That tells you something. There's a spiritual message there. If you're a coward, it's because you believe in nothing beyond yourself. It's you have no appreciation of liberty. You have no appreciation of a bigger picture. You have not. You will not die for anything because you don't believe in anything. You will not stand for anything because you don't believe in anything beyond your own short-term survival. And so those are the worst sinners. They are the worst sinners, the cowards. When we are called to be brave, when we're called to stand for our kids, for our country, for our principles, and we back down, that's the worst sin you can commit.
Mm. The word is indomitable, unable to be dominated, ladies and gentlemen. Embody that word on a daily basis, and you will have your freedom sooner or later if enough people see your example, as we saw from the Milgram experiments and the Stanford prison experiments. People who are being given instructions by authority figures will, even if it's murder, carry out those instructions. But they also had a second part of that experiment, which is not quite so highly publicized. If they see somebody standing up to that authority successfully and saying no, 90% of people get given the courage to say no as well. That's why it's called encouragement. It means to give courage to others. If you do not stand up, if you do put your head down, if you do say yes when you would rather say no, the possible courage that could have been given to others by your brave act is not there anymore, and you are partially to blame for the lack of bravery in your society and its abundance of cowardice.
Yeah, that is absolutely right. You know, it is, courage is contagious, and the biggest problem in the world now is lack of courage by our leaders, by our those who should be leading us, and that courage has now got to come from the grassroots. That's where it's going to come from. You know, we're not going to be saved by our leaders. They've proven they're cowards. We have to stand up now. We have to stand up, and that will, as you say, encourage others.
Indeed, Trevor Loudon has been my very special guest. Thank you so much for your time, brother. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in. Please go to vinnyeastwood.com and donate today to support the broadcast. And we will see you again sometime, ladies and gentlemen. And I want to encourage each and every one of you out there, if you ain't doing nothing about the New World Order but worrying about it, do something about it. Stop worrying. We'll see you again sometime. So Trevor is also going to give us a little bit of promo for his own wares right now. Go for your life, Trevor.
Well, I'll just say, look, my big thing is exposing Marxist leadership and government, etc. And if people want to find out my stuff, go to trevorloudon.com. Loudon is L-O-U-D-O-N. I have books there, Expose Security Risk Senators, Exposing the Marxist Senators in the US. My new series, House Un-Americans, is exposing 100 Congress members with their ties to the CCP, WEF, Communist Party, etc. And I've got a great video there, Enemies Within the Church, will expose why the churches are not standing up, how they've been so infected with woke Marxism that they've basically been taken out of the picture. So yeah, trevorloudon.com.
All right, excellent. So continuing on, this whole idea behind resisting communism is basically boiled down to the fact that you're really resisting collectivism, the idea that the individual doesn't matter and only the collective really matters. And this is something that G. Edward Griffin taught me about extensively on this show. And I think it is something that needs to be known by people, that collectivism is basically a lie, okay? Like transgenderism is a lie, climate change and humans controlling all the weather and everything like that is a lie, and all of these things that they tell you. Now, the reason why it's important to recognize lies is because lies are very confusing. There's a part of your brain that goes, there's something wrong here. I don't know what it is, though. And so, in your confusion, you allow the enemy to slip through the gates.
That's exactly right. You know, the Christians will say the devil is the prince of lies. you know, because, you know, we know truth. Truth is you know, families, freedom, prosperity, decency. We know what truth is, living a good, honest life. That's a truthful way of looking at reality. But we're fed all these lies to get us off track, to get us away from where we should be. And one of the biggest lies, see that we got two choices here. We can either accept that we are human beings with a will, that we are essentially, everyone has intrinsic human dignity. We have a spark of the divine within us. We are humans, or we are livestock. We are basically able to be used and bred and killed and utilized by the collective state at their will, like so many sheep or so many cattle or so many chickens. That's the real guts of it here. So we are free beings who live of our own, with their own life, with maximum personal sovereignty and free nations, or we are livestock as part of this international collective. That's really the choice we are facing right now. And when you look at it in those terms, I don't think it's very hard to determine which one you want to be. But we have fed so much propaganda. We get pushed down rabbit holes. We get diverted from the truth. We get divided because, you know, divide and conquer. You know, the bad guys of the world are a tiny minority, and we are the vast majority. I tell you, I know my personal values would be very close to the average person in India or Germany or Siberia or Chile. I want a family. I want to look after my kids. I want a prosperous life. I want to live freely. I want to develop my interests. I want to worship as I see fit or not worship as I see fit. I want that freedom. Well, I'm sure 99% of the world shares those basic values. But you have a certain percentage who just want control. They are so twisted. They are so warped. They are so egotistical. They believe they're gods on earth. And they promote systems like communism and Nazism to attract more perverted people like them to rule over us.
And this is not metaphorical either. I mean, I recall in, what was it? Well, I wasn't there, but it was in 1910 or 1911 or something of that nature. John D. Rockefeller put out an advertisement in a local paper asking for the worst possible person in the world, liars, cheaters, real scum, to come and work for him. And what do you think happened? There was a line around the block, mate. Like, everybody wanted to work for David Rockefeller at the time. You know, John D. Rockefeller, rather. And so they actively do try and look for people who can do these things, right? As I say many times, the trouble with people like us, Trevor, who have a conscience, is that if we have a fight that day with our loved ones, or if we do something bad to somebody, it's difficult for us to get to sleep at night because we have to wrestle with our conscience. Psychopaths, on the other hand, it's more like this. Honey, what did you do today? Oh, I satanically ritually abused 20 children. Good night, honey. They got no conscience keeping them up, bro. Not whatsoever. And that's why they can do things that you couldn't even frickin' imagine. Like, for example, one person told me that his sister came to dinner, family dinner one night. And every time she comes to a family dinner, she starts some crap, you know. And so this time he went up to her just softly and just says, hey, could we like not have any sort of like incidents tonight? You know, could we just be chill? What do you think she did? Okay. She ran to a broom closet, grabbed a wooden broom and smashed it and broke it over his head. See, you didn't see that coming, did you? Because you wouldn't think of doing that, would you? That's communism in a nutshell, hey, could you please not enslave us and subsequently exterminate us? Right, we're going to mess you up, boy.
Yeah. Well, this is it, you know, why did Satan leave heaven? Because he'd rather rule in hell than serve in heaven. Rather, there are certain people who are so egotistical and so bent and so twisted, their whole life is about subjugating others and being sadistic against others. And see, communism and fascism encourage those people. They bring those people to the top. You know, free society, a constitutional society, marginalizes the lunatics. They never get any power. There's no power to get, you know. But a centralized system attracts those who want to rule others. You know, this is the big the thing we can't understand. Most of us cannot understand evil. We cannot understand that certain people get off on controlling others. That's their whole reason they get up in the morning. And they're a tiny minority, but when you centralize power, those people come to power like moths to a flame, and they get positions of power, and they work with their friends, and they form a class that basically exploits everybody else. You know, that's Castro's Cuba. That's Mao's China. That's the old Soviet Union. And that is now what is coming to most Western countries, most countries around the world. So we need to understand in those psychological terms. You know, everybody's been to high school knows there are bullies at high school, right? But yeah, if you can, you band together and you keep the bullies in their place. Well, those bullies get into politics. Those bullies get into organizations that give them power. So our goal is decentralize power, reduce power, increase personal sovereignty, because that means the bullies never get a chance to do what they want to do. They're always going to be on the fringes and hopefully in jail.
Does jail even work, though? Because as we're looking before, you know, people just come out better criminals. And that's what I'm hoping for if I go to jail. You know, I'll come out and be a better truth criminal. You know, I'll be in there with all the other broadcasters and stuff like that. They'll show me the tricks of the trade.
Sure. Yeah, well, that may be. We may be sharing the same cell one day, Vinny, you know. And, you know, get yourself a pair of earplugs because I snore something wicked, you know. But there's the thing, you know, we want the bad and twisted people on the margins. You know, we do not want them in the centers of power. You know, somebody who really, really, really wants to be a politician and wants to rule the country, that's the last person that should be in politics. You know, the real leader should be one who doesn't really want to lead, but feels called to help his country in a time of need. To have some civic responsibility. You know, someone like Jacinda Ardern, she is, her whole life was waiting for the pandemic. I can get power. I can be the sole source of truth. You have to be a twisted individual to enjoy what she was doing, and she was enjoying it.
Mm-hmm. She couldn't keep the smile off of her face. Well, that partly because the lips don't cover the teeth much. But anyway, The ideal that we're going to go in for here in terms of the ancient ideals would be Cincinnatus. All right, Cincinnatus became a very well-known Roman general and practically emperor at the time, if I recall correctly. And all he wanted to do was farm. All right, so yeah. he finished his job, he went back to the farm, and then Rome got attacked, and he got called back. And he got given unlimited power over the empire to defend it. He defended it successfully, gave up all that unlimited power, and then went back to farming. That happened three times. A man was given unlimited power, did his job, gave the power back, and went back to farming. Yeah. That's what we need.
That's the idea. Was it George Washington, when they defeated the British, they wanted to make him king of America. And he said, no, I want to go back to my farm. I don't want to be king. He gave up the power. Well, that shows true character, doesn't it? When you have an opportunity for power and glory, and you give it up because you want to go back to your farm or your business or your family. That's the kind of people who are fit leaders. But that's not many of us, is it?
Well, so luckily, the you don't need that many leaders, you know.
No, we don't. Well, a real ideal society is government should be virtually nothing. You know, government should be a justice system and an army and a navy and a defence force. And that's really what government should be. You know, we don't need departments for everything under the sun. People are smart enough to live their own lives. People, you know, nobody knows your wants and needs better than you do. Nobody. Nobody knows what your family needs or wants better than you do. Why would you give that power to a government who has no interest in you personally?
Mm.
You know, why would you do that? This is the ideal society is decentralization, maximum individual autonomy, and a tiny government, a bare minimum government. Because then the bully, why would the bullies get in the government? They got no power over you anyway.
Mm. I mean, what was it some guy once told me that I'm a libertarian because I don't know what's best for you.
Yeah. I don't know what you want. I don't know what your personal desires are. I got mine, and that's hard enough to figure out. Just you run your life. I'll run mine. You look after your family. I'll look after mine. And we have a community. We respect each other's values. We help each other when things are going wrong. You'll help me when things are going wrong for me. If it's all voluntary. It's all in the spirit of local autonomy, local freedom. That's what we want. And that's how most people would prefer to live. But the big guys will say, well, if you give up a bit of your liberty, we'll pay for this and we'll pay for that. You know, there's no free lunches. If the government's going to pay for something for you, they want a price for that. They want some of your freedom for it.
It was a rate of 30 to 1, my former co-host Will Ryan once told me, that for every $30 you give to the government, you get $1 back in benefits.
Yeah, that's about right. It's but you know, you have a private charity, private churches, you know, private community things. Local people, you can give charity to a local charity and they'll be a lot more accountable. You know, a local community food bank or something, they'll be a lot more accountable with the money you give them than some big government department. You know, yeah. And your local charities, local community help works a lot better than government.
It does. It's incredibly effective, usually because they're headed by people who want to be there, whether or not they're being paid, right? There's a difference between people who are willing to do a job without pay and people who will only do the job if they're getting paid. All right. I don't know exactly what the job is that we're talking about here or how much money we're talking about, but money is a corrupter. Mun-I, meaning one eye, one God. Okay, that's basically it. If you do something only for the money and you're not actually getting any pleasure out of it and you don't actually derive any sense of self-satisfaction that you're accomplishing some good works or you're making something that nobody else has done before, then basically you're a slave to that money. It is not something that is good for you. It's actually something that's enslaving you and destroying you.
Yeah, that's right. It's a very shallow way to live your life, isn't it? It's a very, very shallow way. Like, we all got to have money. We've all got to feed our kids. But if that is your motivation, if that is your only motivation, that is your God, that is a very shallow and superficial way to run your life. And it will not bring you the happiness you think it will at all. You know, there are bigger values than that. But this is the thing. We either fight for that local autonomy, we fight for people living their own lives in their own communities, looking after their own families, fulfilling their own values, or we work for centralized control. And we've all seen the horrors of centralized control. So I think it's very clear what path we should all be on now. You know, as many of us can, you know, keep it local, keep it free, support your neighbours, get rid of the centralised demagogues, get the perverts out of your schools, just have the decent communities that, that most of us are still young, you know, still young enough to remember, you know, or old enough to remember that, that we really grew up with.
Let's think about the concept here of reclaiming, all right? Because ultimately all the things that we've, you know, lost can be reclaimed. We can reclaim our lands, we can reclaim our air, we can reclaim our liberty. Now the question is, how exactly do you do this tactically? But switching gears for just a moment, I was wondering, what motivated you, Trevor, to start doing this? You know, oh, I'll start opposing world communism. This will be great.
It's a natural progression, you know. Look, I've always been, I've been a bit of an oddball, I suppose. You know, like I remember one of my teachers telling me, she said, we often used to talk about you in the classroom. She said, you're the only one who didn't believe our bullshit. You know, so I've always respected liberty. I've always been one who wanted to be an individual. But I understood very early on. I read books like I read Ayn Rand very early on as a young man. I read a lot of books from the American Founding Fathers. I read a lot of spiritual texts. And I got the idea very, very quickly that the ideal state is to live in freedom and to preserve freedom, and that really it's our duty to reclaim freedom for ourselves, and that means we must also help others reclaim freedom. So that's an idea I've had from my late teens, I would say. And so I've always worked towards that, whether it's in politics or whether it's writing my books, making my documentaries. I do a lot of public lectures. That's always been the consistent theme. You know, I believe we're all held accountable for what we do, one way or another. And I want to, at the end of my life, I want to stand up and say, I stood for liberty. I stood for freedom consistently through my life. I want to look my kids in the eye and say, I fought all my life so that you may live free. That's always been the overriding motivation for my life. I've always had that.
Yeah. It's kind of the reason why Billy and I got ourselves arrested for protesting the lockdowns in 2021, is that somebody has to lay down on the barbed wire so that somebody else can walk across you free, you know?
Well, that's right. There's no more noble thing than fighting for liberty. For freedom. And the thing is, you meet the best people. If you want to go through a life's journey and you want to surround yourself with the best people, the most honest people, the most loyal people, get into the liberty movement, because that's where you'll find them. That's where you'll find the best companions, the most trusted friends, those who have an idea of something bigger than themselves, that liberty is an important thing, and they're willing to be courageous and willing to stand up, and as you say, to lie down on the barbed wire so that somebody can walk over your back. You know, liberty has never been free. People have sacrificed for it, and we got to honor those people, and our obligation is to carry that torch forward in our time.
Sacrifice. Self-sacrifice, I think, is the key here, because there's two motivations. Those who want tyranny want to sacrifice others for their cause.
Yeah.
And yeah. Those who want freedom want to sacrifice of themselves for the cause.
Are willing to do that, yeah, absolutely. And what we, you know, we risk giving up a lot. We risk giving up our fortunes. We risk giving up our popularity. We risk giving up our families. We risk giving up a lot, but we stand to gain a lot too. And as you know, as Gimli said, small chance of success, massive chances of being killed. What's stopping us? The chance of liberty, the chance, it's because you got to live with yourself at the end of the day, don't you? You know, you've got to know that you were in the right. There's this famous story and I don't even know if it's true, but it illustrates the point of the famous little German church in Nazi Germany during the war. They're all singing on a Sunday morning. They're all singing hymns, and they're all good Christians. And a box car pulls up outside. They're right next to a railway station. And they hear banging and banging from the, you know, from the box cars, and help us, water, we need water, let us out. You know, this is people going to the concentration camps. So what did those Christians do? They sang louder. So they might have been, you know, at the time where they're called to live their principles, they failed. How do you think they felt for the rest of their lives? Do you think they were happy? You think they're fulfilled people? Wouldn't it have been better to go out and just rip those bloody doors open, even if you got hauled away yourself? Wouldn't you feel better about yourself if you'd done that, rather than just let the evil happen?
Every time we're faced, it kind of shows others your true face, right?
It does.
You are what you're challenged with. And there's a great quote from Gladiator, the extended cut, where he says that, "I believe all men are given the strength by God to bear the loads they have to."
Yeah.
And I call it the ping. I mean, there's some technical term for it, but you ever have a thought, and if you don't get up and do that immediately, in 5 seconds' time, that thought's gone, and you're not going to do it, right? Mm. The ping. That's where all your inspiration and all your ideas and a lot of your best work really comes from. Just a little inspiring thought. Oh, I'm going to stop doing what I'm doing. I'm going to do that right now. All right, this is
You seize that moment. You seize that moment, don't you? That little spark of inspiration that comes from time to time. Do you let it pass by, or do you seize it?
Yeah.
You know? We regret at the end of our lives more what we didn't do than what we did do. You know, don't we? You know, we do something, we might make a mistake, but we'll never know if we didn't do it. You know, it's always better to act than not to act, and to seize those moments. And we might make a mistake, but we'll learn from that. We'll be braver for that. We'll be stronger for that. And I think that's our journey in life. We got to look at something beyond ourselves. We got to look at what the purpose of this is. You know, we're here for liberty. You know, liberty is a big part of what we're supposed to be doing. We know that our family is very valuable to us. We know that our community is valuable to us, and we know that that need protecting at times. We know that there is evil in the world, and it's our responsibility to confront and restrain that evil. And if we're not willing to do that, what the hell are we doing?
I mean, if you want to confront evil outside yourself, you have to realize first that it's not just outside yourself.
No, it isn't. It isn't at all. You know, we all have dark sides to us. You know, anybody doesn't recognize that hasn't got a lot of introspection. You know, we all have that inside it. So it's a constant battle. You know, are we going to be cowards? Are we going to not do the right thing? It's always easier not to do the right thing. And we've always got this little devil on our shoulder saying, no, don't do that. Don't take that risk. No, it's easy to do this. Don't tell the truth here. No, a bit of a lie, that's okay. We've always got that going on within ourselves. You know, we've got to acknowledge that. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's great to hang around with people who are into liberty and into freedom, because these are people who have done something to conquer that evil within themselves, that cowardice within themselves. And that helps you to conquer the evil within you, the cowardice within you. And so that's why I say join the liberty movement, because it'll help you, it'll help everybody else, and we'll all benefit from it. You know, it's the way forward. And we're at a time, I think, as you say, we all got to get off the fence right now. You want to serve the Dark Lord, you serve the Dark Lord, and you take the consequences. You want to serve truth and liberty, help your fellow man, support your family. This is the time to choose.
Yeah. I remember watching a video of a guy who was analyzing movie tyrannies, you know, like analyzing Star Wars and that kind of thing. And he's, and he's running through this kind of thing, just saying this empire would never work because everybody's afraid of getting executed by Darth Vader. So nobody's going to come up with any original ideas. Nobody's going to try experimenting anything. Everybody's just going to try and just keep their head down or whatever until suddenly they're in command. And then they don't really want command because when they are in command, they're going to be under the direct threat of being killed by Darth Vader if they even mess up once, you know?
Well, you know, that's why Hitler screwed up in World War II. He should have won World War II, but he had everybody so damn terrified of him, they wouldn't bring him the bad news, they wouldn't tell him the truth, they wouldn't take responsibility. So basically he was running the war effort by himself, and he was very fallible, and he made classic blunders that basically led to his destruction. And that's our advantage. Centralized systems are very inefficient. They are very prone to error, and that is to our advantage, because you know the bad guys, it doesn't always go right for them, because they won't tell each other the truth. They're always watching watching their own back, because they know their second in command's going to stab them in the back the first chance they get. So if you are part of the evil movement, you know, you're going to be watching your back every step of the way. You're going to be devoured by your own revolution. You're going to be living in misery and fear your whole life. Or you can choose the right path. You can choose the harder path, where you have a chance of living in liberty and having real bonds and real friendships with your fellow man that you can trust. You can conquer the evil within yourselves. So it's very clear which way we should go, because the dark side swallows its own, it devours its own, it destroys its own. And you might get a temporary, you know, good job, or you might get a temporary reprieve from execution, or things might go easy for a while. This is all these woke businesses, you know. They're out there adopting all these woke policies because they think if they appease the left will leave them alone. Well, they're just, all they're doing is delaying their execution. All they're doing is selling out their own future for a little bit of peace right now. And as somebody famously said, if you believe that peace and security is the only thing in life, you'll do anything for peace and security, you will get neither.
I think the saying is Ceteris Paribus Parabellum, the old Roman saying that if you want peace, prepare for war.
Yeah, absolutely. Be prepared to be a man, to stand up, to defend your family, to defend your values. That's what being a man is. That really is what it is.
Yeah. The meek shall inherit the earth. And the ancient Greek translation of that is a man who has a very sharp sword and knows exactly how to use it, but chooses to keep it sheathed.
Yeah.
This is the thing.
That is a very different interpretation, isn't it? What, you know, look, yeah, that's, you know, a lot of Christians going, oh, we've got to be meek, we've got to be mild, we've got to accepting. Jesus walked into the temple and he threw over the table. He didn't negotiate a settlement with the money changers. He didn't try and, you know, hold a restorative justice conference. He went in and he threw the damn table over. Yeah. We have to be able to have that sword, and ideally we'll keep it sheathed. We don't use it unnecessarily, but it's got to be there. And that's when you have the power, to hurt others, and you don't use it unless it is necessary. That's the real measure of a man, and that's what I think that real Christian message was. Not this wimpy, you know, well, let's all be meek, let's all be mild, let's all just roll over. That's too many Christians have misunderstood that message, I think.
Yeah. Hey, if you enslave and kill us, I'm going to send you a really angry letter. No, that's not going to cut it, I'm afraid.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, look, you know, David versus Goliath, you know, a boy with a rock and a bit of string, you know, against a giant. You know, Gideon's 300 men against the horde. You know, these are the messages of the Old Testament, that people need to be brave and stand up for their communities and what is right. And I think, I believe we're in a spiritual world. I believe we're in a spiritual battle of good versus evil. And I think courage is the primary virtue that we need, because courage shows you have faith in something bigger than yourself. You cannot fight unless you believe in something bigger than yourself. You are not willing to make those sacrifices if you think the only important thing in your life is your measly survival right now. So I think, you know, you see these messages and things like Lord of the Rings. That's why it's such an inspiring bunch of movies, you know. There comes a time where men will turn away and will walk away from the battle, but it is not this day. Today we fight. You know, these messages. It's like real power in those messages.
It's like in the great stories, Mr. Frodo. The ones that really mattered. Full of darkness and danger they were. And sometimes you didn't want to know the end. Because how could the end be happy? How could the world go back to the way it was when so much bad had happened? But in the end, it's only a passing thing, this shadow. A new day will come, and when the sun shines, it will shine out the clearer. Those are the stories that stayed with you. Those are the stories that meant something, even if you were too small to understand now why. And I think I know now that the folk in those stories had lots of chances of turning back, only they didn't. They kept going because they were holding on to something. That there's some good in this world, Mr. Frodo, and it's worth fighting for.
Brings tears to your eyes, doesn't it? But that's it. That encapsulates it, doesn't it?
That's why we're here.
That's why we're here. That's why we're here at this time for a reason. And, that's very inspiring stuff, isn't it?
I've got you all welled up there, bro.
You have. There's little tears forming behind my glasses here.
Sorry, my bad. Let's just switch gears a little bit.
It's not bad at all. I don't mind shedding a tear.
No, but the thing is about that sort of thing is it's performance. Okay, I'm a performer. I'm an artist. I'm an actor. I'm not a guy who sits down and does the I's and the T's and things like that. I do most things through feeling, and because it's feeling that changes people's minds, not information.
Yeah, yeah. Look, you know, and see, this is my argument with say the Republicans and say the National Party in New Zealand. They think it's all about, if we can cut the taxes by 2% and we'll grow gross economic product by 3%, everybody's going to be happy. It's not that. It's God, King and country. It's family. It's those things that stir people's hearts. You know, people don't march on Washington to cut sales tax by 2%. You know, they march over issues. They march over. That's why Trump was so good, because he appealed to people's hearts. You know, says we want to protect our country. We want to make our country great again. We want every American to be free. Not, well, we're going to tinker with the tax system and we can get it down and we'll grow the gross national product. People don't. Yeah, I want a growing economy. I want wealth. Yeah, that's great. That's all good. But it is the actual really emotional heart issues that stir people, isn't it? Your family, your God, your country, your community, your values. That's what stirs people's hearts.
Not their wallets.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, well, what are we? Three meals away from a revolution at any time, all right? That's the thing that we're doing about. And I've been saying, you know, people need to be made more desperate. I remember in, what was it, maybe 2011 or 2010, around about when I started this show on American Freedom Radio back in the day, somebody called up and they said, Vineet, people won't believe me about cannabis. My family just kind of like say, no, it's a dangerous drug or whatever. It'll kill you as soon as you look at it. You know, that sort of thing. And like, how can I get them to accept that the war on drugs is a bad thing? And I go, well, I mean, have you tried calling the police and saying that your family are drug dealers? Because I'm sure that when the police bust into your house and destroy everything looking for drugs that aren't there and don't even say sorry and come out, I guarantee you that trauma will make them start thinking very differently about the war on drugs. Now, this is not to say that I'm serious and let's do this to our families. What I'm saying is that it's trauma that really wakes people up sometimes, and sometimes we actually need to inflict it ourselves. People need to be scared out of their minds in order to make a change sometimes. And I'm like, yeah, is it irresponsible to do that? You know, I'm kind of conflicted about it, frankly, Trevor.
Well, look, I think our duty is to tell the truth. You know, our duty is not to inflict misery on others, but our duty is to tell the truth when that misery is being... We saw the COVID. We saw the trauma that many people went through during that time. Well, our duty is to tell the truth and give people a way out of this.
Mm.
You know, and but you're right. You're right. You often have to almost lose something before you appreciate it. You have to come to rock bottom sometimes before you'll climb out of your misery. This is true. I've just seen on my computer that I'm almost out of battery and I don't have much charge. So if the battery fails, it's not me fleeing. I'm just letting you know. Sorry.
Well, I'll tell you what. You wrap up and we'll close the show up here now.
Okay. Well, I just want to say it's been a great talking to you, Vinny. We both share a common country. We both love the United States. We both love liberty. And I've enjoyed the philosophical side of this because ultimately, yeah, we have to understand who we are, what our role is in the world, and we've got to be brave and courageous and fight for those truths. And I think we share those values, and I hope this debate has encouraged others to increase their commitment, increase their courage, you know. Not trying to be patronizing anyway, I think we are so superior, but I think sharing this kind of message is something we can do to help others to see things a little more clearly and have a bit more commitment to what they need to do. Indeed. So I appreciate the opportunity, I really do.
Trevor Loudon, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much. TrevorLoudon.com. We'll see you again sometime, brother.
Yes, we'll do with Vinny. Thank you.
Cheers, mate. We'll see you soon.
Yeah, so I enjoyed it, Vinny. I really enjoyed it.
Thanks.
But I just, I left my bloody charger cord in the hotel last night and I'm running on battery and it's almost gone soon.
It's all good. We'll do it again.
Okay. Yeah, we'll do it. Absolutely. Loved it. Loved it. Really did. And you keep it out of jail, mate.
Oh, you know, I'm working on it. That's kind of one of those priorities, you know.
Yeah. Where are you? Which city are you in now?
I'm in Auckland, Green Bay.
Okay. Yeah, I was up there in Herne Bay speaking to the Voices for Freedom on Saturday, I think it was. But, yeah, saw Calvin up there. And, you know, so, yeah, but I better go because this is going to die any minute. Yeah, but we'll catch you later. Cheers. Have a good day, mate.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
All right, that was Trevor Loudon from TrevorLoudon.com, ladies and gentlemen. Very, very grateful to have him on the show for a number of reasons, really. And speaking of grateful, I want to thank all the people who have been donating and helping out the show and things like that, who are Patreons to Vinny and the Vendettas, especially those people who are giving us regular automatic payments into the Kiwi Bank every week and month and things like that. Man, you guys are like giving us like a dollar a week or $10 a month, or like in one case, one of our donors gives us $300 a month. And it is so wonderful to be able to continue bringing the truth to people and showing that there is decency and awesomeness out there, and knowing that people are actually willing to support it and put their money where their mouth is. So all of those of you who are supporting the show in that way, I want to say thank you so, so much, guys. We literally could not do this without you. And that's why, if you have already donated, make sure you go to the donate page on vinnieeastwood.com and click here for your special rewards at the bottom of the page. And you can have my phone number so I can give you a call and thank you so much for in person. And we can have a chat and stuff like that, because hey, everybody's got problems, everybody's going through hard times right now, and sometimes all you need is somebody to just talk to, somebody who's willing to listen, and somebody who really does care. And if you're doing that for me, I'd like to do that for you. So donate, click for you for special rewards on the bottom of the donate page, and let's have a chat, guys. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Have a good old chat with Vinny. And also, speaking of gratitude, I want to say how grateful I am to David Holden from HoldenHealthcare.com, who's been helping to treat not only me, but also my partner, Rebecca, as well. My liver is half as toxic as it was when the first time I see him, but we've still got a lot of stuff to do before I'm actually like healthy, you know. I'm definitely not healthy at the moment, but I am much better with his advice and supplements and things of that nature that we're doing. And so go to HoldenHealthcare.com if you want that same kind of specialist naturopathic care, ladies and gentlemen. It's freaking very, very good for you to use the entire body to heal itself. Reopen.nz is a director of anti-mandate pro-choice all-inclusive businesses in New Zealand. So if you're getting ready for the next pandemic, ladies and gentlemen, put your freedom business on there today. Reopen.nz. And of course, Billy's working on the documentary River of Lies, the New Zealand Scamdemic, which I feature in, along with a huge list of international characters. Check that out. And we also have a petition, change.org/P/JusticeForBillyTKandVinnieEastwood. Okay, we've got 3,432 signatures right now. So guys, I'm going to pop that in the chats for you as we speak, so that you guys can go and sign that petition to free us from these chains. All right. Now, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's the lighter side of genocide. Just because we're being exterminated doesn't mean we can't make it fun. Otherwise, what's the point? And I will see you again sometime, ladies and gentlemen. Got to stop this broadcast now because I've got to take a wiki leak. Good night, everybody.